make your own. But I'm thankful to be here. I hope that you're thankful to be here. It's a privilege to be able to worship God and be in a country where we can do that. I'm also thankful for the Estes congregation, for the work of two brothers and great professors that I'm mentored by, and also for the elders and for the way that this church is so missional and that they care about spreading the gospel. So I'm thankful for that. If you have your Bible, open up to Luke chapter 19. That's where we're going to spend our time together this evening, Luke chapter 19. Have you ever thought about what the world would be like if there were no labels? I know that's a weird question, but no labels. So think about those of you who have serious food allergies. Congratulations, if there's no labels in the world, you're walking into a grocery store and you're playing Russian roulette. You have no clue what you're about to pick up. You might die from it, I'm sorry. But in a world with no labels, addresses would be a whole lot harder to find, right? Those Christmas cards that you're about to be sending out, man, that would take 3 years to prepare, right? You should have started about a month ago without labels. But one thing that I really think about without labels, calling people would no longer be any fun. You know somebody with a good nickname, a good label in front of them, right? Growing up, my nickname was Big Ben. I called my mom, and she said, "Ben, your nickname Big Ben was because, you know, there's that one clock in London that's called Big Ben, so we called you Big Ben." And I was like, "Mom, listen, is this on? Okay, yeah, okay, go to the next one." I was like, "Mom, those muffin tops don't lie, you know? There's a reason I was called Big Ben as a kid, because I was a little bit chunky, I was a little bit bigger." And you can think of nicknames in your friend group and how they all have a story behind them. I think of a couple of nicknames in the sports world. This is Cedric Maxwell. It's a little bit hard to see that picture, but he was a small forward in the NBA from 1977 to 1988. Old Cornbread got his nickname from his college buddy that played ball with him. They went and saw a movie one night, and his roommate said, "Hey, you look a lot like the lead in the movie Cornbread, Earl and Me." So that's how Cedric Cornbread Maxwell got his nickname. Maybe you know this one a little bit better. This is Willie Mays, right? Nicknamed the Say Hey Kid. If you don't know how he got that nickname, is he was known for saying phrases like say what, say who, say where, and say hey. So one New York journalist nicknamed him the Say Hey Kid, and he picked up this nickname. And nicknames are fun, but what they really are a label. And all a label really does is define and describe who somebody is, right? There's a story behind a label. Well, tonight we have an opportunity to dive into a passage where there's one man in particular that has been labeled. And this is Zacchaeus. That's actually him. Just kidding. Zacchaeus, we come face to face with a man who has been labeled by the world. And he just feels small. Not only is he small physically, but he feels small spiritually. He feels inadequate. And you know what? He's just not matching up. And he's not the only one that knows that. Everybody else does. We come face to face with a man who looks at himself and says, "This is who I am, and I don't like it." But Zacchaeus comes face to face with a huge, awesome God who says, "You know what? Who you are is not who you have to be." So as we get to study this passage together of such richness, I ask you to look into your own life, to open your heart, and to consider who you might be labeled as. Because who you are right now is not who you have to be. So let's dig into our passage together. Start in verse 1. "He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich." Let's stop right there. We don't need to go anymore because we're introduced to the first thing we need to notice, is that Zacchaeus is living like a label. And the reason he's living like a label is because simply he is labeled. We're all labeled. We're introduced to two of the main three characters in the story right here in the first two verses. The first one is Jesus. He entered Jericho. Now, we don't know much about Jesus other than it being he if we were only to read this passage. But we do know that here at the end of Luke chapter 16, he's about to go into Jerusalem, right? This triumphal entry. And he's going to be labeled the King of Kings, right? Hosanna. They're going to exalt him and say, the Savior's finally here. And what is he going to be crucified later as that week? He's going to be labeled the King of the Jews, who is now blaspheming God. And they don't like that. So Jesus is labeled, and we're introduced to him in verse 1. And then in verse 2, we're introduced to the man, Zacchaeus. But what is Zacchaeus known as? What is Zacchaeus? He's a chief tax collector, and he's rich. And I know, as simple as these points were, that Zacchaeus is labeled, we can relate. Every one of us here tonight can relate in some shape, form, or fashion, because we're all labeled. And not all labels are bad. There's some of us here tonight, right, and we're labeled as students. We go to Taco Bell, and we say, hey, I am a student. Give me the tax exempt, please, right? Because you don't want to pay $5 for a $5 box. You want to pay, what is it, like $4.85, right? So you're proud to be a student. Some of you here tonight are proud to be labeled mom and dad. Some of you are proud to be labeled grandma and grandpa. Some of you are proud to be labeled boyfriend, girlfriend. Some of us here tonight are teacher or electrician or you fill in the blank. We all possess labels, and they're not bad. They're just descriptions of who we are. But see, whenever it comes down to it, God only has two labels for everyone who's ever lived. There's only two labels. And I think of Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 that says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from the dead to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. In this grand scheme of things, God only labels people as righteous or unrighteous. That's the only two options. But here's where it gets tricky, and it got tricky for Zacchaeus, is that God's not the only labeler that we encounter in our life. God labels men and women by righteous and unrighteous. But you also have the world that labels people, and you also label yourself. So Zacchaeus comes full force in front of himself, and the crowd sees him, and they know that he's the tax collector. And I can only imagine how Zacchaeus feels whenever he is surrounded by such judgment and such hatred because of who he is. And these are the bad labels we encounter, right, from the world and from ourselves. I think about how some of us here tonight think about what we truly label ourselves as, because only you besides God know who you are. You might be labeling yourself as not good enough. You might label yourself as not talented enough, not smart enough. Maybe you label yourself as a hypocrite, or we could go to the extremes of the addict, or the one that's really selfish, or we all know one and like to label that one the annoying one, right? We all have one of those. Or maybe the one that sleeps around. We all possess a label we're really not happy with that we know. And here's why those bad labels really hurt. It's because we're either fulfilling them, or there's a misunderstanding. Whenever it comes to who we truly are, whenever we come face to face with God, there is only these two options. We either really are that, or there's a misunderstanding. Zacchaeus, there's no denying that he is a tax collector. The text goes on and says that he's rich. There's no denying that he has stolen, that he has corrupted, and he has taken from his own people. I'm mindful of the culture here in the first century that's being experienced. And the reason tax collectors are so hated is because they're not just seen as those that are taking money. You know, like, nobody likes the IRS here, right? You're getting all these forms and paperwork. So you're about to have to start filing. Nobody likes them. But guess what? Can you imagine if it was like your brother that was stealing, and like your brother that was the one taking your money and then said, hey, by the way, I know I said I'm only supposed to take this much, but I actually need about $100 more than I told you, right? Tax collectors sold out of their pure bloodline to go and be part of an oppressive Roman government that not only stole from them, but supported a pagan religious world. So they hated. They were absolutely hated. So who can blame the crowd there in verse 3 that gets in Zacchaeus' way, that gets in the way and that looks at Zacchaeus and says, you know what, you're a tax collector and you stay over there, and I'll stay over here. Because that's what the crowd does. He says, you're a tax collector. You're not worthy. You belong over there. And you stay there. Some of you tonight might feel that way. You might say, you know what, I feel like a tax collector. I feel like nobody wants me around. I feel like I'm not good enough. I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too little. Because guess what? Zacchaeus was also labeled as McShorty, right? A little man. McShorty, tax collector, sinful man. That's who Zacchaeus is. And they say, stay over there. And Zacchaeus isn't alone. I'm reminded of Matthew 7, 16 through 20. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. My generation, along with the millennials, hate whenever people judge them, right? We hate to be judged. And we love to use what verse, right? Matthew 7, verse 1, that says, judge not that you not be judged. And we take that verse out of context. I'm here to tell you it's okay as a Christian to have a righteous judgment. If you are a repulsive liar and you go around lying, I'm not going to apologize for calling you a liar, because you are a liar. You should be labeled as a liar. You are fulfilling that. Or if you go around sleeping with people, and that is who you are, you should not be surprised whenever you are labeled as one who sleeps around. You are fulfilling that label. That's the only option. You either have that or there's a misunderstanding. And if you have been misunderstood and labeled by the world as something because of one mistake, I'm so sorry. If you're here tonight and you've been labeled by the church and the people of the church as someone who is so sinful because of one mistake, and they've defined you by that, and they won't forgive you for that, I'm so sorry. And I'm not talking about this church in particular. I'm talking about the church universal. If Christians are unwilling to forgive, I'm so sorry. But we've either fulfilled the label or there's a misunderstanding. But here's what's so important. Notice verse 3. This is where the unfair part comes in. What is Zacchaeus seeking to do? It says, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. I love how Scripture just throws in that little extra, like he was small, he was short. It's just another label for Zacchaeus. But I think Scripture allows us to see, on top of just being short, that the people really don't want Zacchaeus to get to Jesus. They say, hey, Jesus is coming. It's no surprise that Jesus has just healed a blind man on up the road as he was coming into Jericho. And now he is in Jericho, and everybody wants to see him. And Zacchaeus is not excluded. But the crowd has said, you know what, you're a tax collector, you stay over there, and guess what, Jesus, we're going to protect you from the sinful ones. We're going to make sure the sinners don't get to you tonight. So here we have this separation. But what's so unfair? What does Zacchaeus want to do? He wants to see Jesus. He wants to be who he needs to be. He wants to be who he knows deep down inside he needs to be, and he's seeking that. So this is where it comes to the next point, is that though the world has labeled Zacchaeus, and though that the crowd won't allow Zacchaeus to become who he wants to be, Zacchaeus is looking for a label. He's not happy where he's at. He wants something more. And we see that Zacchaeus understands that he doesn't have to be what his label says he has to be. Zacchaeus understands that he does not have to be who the world says he is. If you feel like you're labeled as someone who cheats or someone who lies or someone who is addicted, you fill in the blank. If you feel that way, you don't have to be that any longer. You don't have to be that way. Notice what Zacchaeus does, and I think it's important that we follow what he does. Notice verse 4. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. One commentator writes this concerning the action of Zacchaeus, running ahead in front of the crowd and climbing up into the tree. He says that a man of this dignity, of this stature and position, would have resorted to such a maneuver suggests his foresight, his energy, his determination, and his ingenuity. it would be well if all men exhibited such qualities in the pursuit of knowledge of the Lord. Zacchaeus understands that where he is not where he wants to be, so he does something about it. He says, if the crowd is not going to allow me to see Jesus, I'm going to go to the very place that I can be with Jesus. And I'm going to make sure that I'm in a position to where I can get to know and be with Jesus. And why does Zacchaeus want to do that? Simply, verse 4 tells us he does these two actions because he wants to see Jesus, and he knows that Jesus is going to be where he's at. He knows that. I'm reminded of Albert Einstein and his quote of what insanity is, right? You've heard this before. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Zacchaeus was tired of being insane. He said, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to go where I can be with Jesus. I don't know if you feel this way, that you feel like you're running to the same empty well over and over again, that you feel like that you can't ever do anything right, that you've been labeled by the world, and that you've maybe even labeled yourself as something, and you keep falling over and over and over again. Can I suggest to you tonight to try something different, to maybe run to the one place that you can find help, to the one place where you can find a solution and find an ability to be relabeled as a child of God? Can I suggest that to you? And we're going to have an opportunity at the end of the lesson for you to be able to come forward and ask for prayers. Maybe for you to start a life in baptism. I think it's on this side, the baptistry, right? This is an opportunity for you to begin a walk with the Lord, to begin this life in Christ, for you to actually receive a new label. It's time for you to receive your renewed label in Christ. Don't leave here tonight without doing that. And I'm reminded of a passage in James chapter 4, where he's talking about this conflict, whether to be sanctified in God or to take part in the world. And he says there in verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. If you want a new label, the first step in doing what Zacchaeus is doing is drawing near to God, looking for a new label. I would suggest three things for us, very simple. They're not new. You've heard them before, to draw near to God. The first is read his word. Be in the word of God. If you're tired of who you are right now and you want to be somebody who God wants you to be, read his word. There's no better place to find out who God is than in his word. I'm reminded of John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Or 2 Timothy 3:16 that tells us the purpose of Scripture and that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. Did you hear that one? Training in righteousness. You want to be something new? You want to be righteous? Read the Word of God. In 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You want to live a godly life? Read the Word of God through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. The second thing I would suggest is find the Lord in prayer. Confess your sins before him. Go to him. He hears us when we call according to his will, 1 John 5:14. In James 5:13, to call out to him in our trouble, pray. And then I would suggest taking the motive of Zacchaeus. Run to the place where you know Jesus is going to be. Run to the church. Run to the church. You're here tonight, so you've started. Congratulations, I'm proud of you. But Zacchaeus knew where Jesus was going to go, so he went there. The church is a place of people that are pursuing a life of Christ-likeness. Run there, because we know it is to help build us up, Hebrews 10:24-25. However, but whenever I reflect upon James 4 and verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and what else? He will draw near to you. Notice the next part there in verse 5. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. If we are seeking, we're also being sought by God. We're being sought by Jesus. I love how Scripture says Jesus came to the place. It doesn't say that Jesus passed by like it did earlier. It says Jesus came to the place. He knew Zacchaeus was seeking. He knew Zacchaeus' heart. Because Jesus shows up, he looks up, and he speaks up. These are things that Zacchaeus has never had of him before. Zacchaeus has always been pushed to the side as the chief tax collector. Now, Jesus, he not only shows up, he notices him and he speaks to him. If we seek God, he's going to show up. If we seek God, he's going to look up. And if we seek God, he's going to speak up. He will be present. And then notice this. What does the crowd consider Zacchaeus as? You can talk back to me. Zacchaeus is what? A sinner and a chief. Man, are y'all awake? Am I that boring? Zacchaeus is what? A chief tax collector. Thank you. Okay. What does Jesus respond to Zacchaeus? What does he say? Zacchaeus. When we talk face to face with the Lord, when we come to the Lord, we are not a label. We're a soul. You are not a label to God. You are not a label to God. You're a soul. You are His. Let's move forward. I want us to understand that as we come here looking for Jesus, it's understood that Jesus already knows. I'm reminded of Luke 15, 1 and 2, about how Jesus always seems to have this ability to know whenever people are seeking him. In Luke 15, 1 and 2, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Right after the Pharisees grumbled about the tax collectors and the sinners and how they were coming to Jesus, what does Jesus say? What are the next parables that he talks about? The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. Somehow Jesus knows that these are the people that need to hear this message. And then in Luke 18, 10 through 13, Jesus talks about this. He gives this parable about the prayer of the Pharisee, right? And how he's saying, "Lord, I'm so thankful." And what does the Pharisee start doing? He starts labeling those around him, right? That I'm not like this sinner, and that I'm not like this tax collector. And then Jesus says, what about the prayer of the tax collector? He couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He says, "Lord, have mercy on me." Those who are labeled and those who are seen by the world, Jesus understands your heart, and he knows you don't want to be where you're at. So listen to his message. Listen to what Jesus says to Zacchaeus. He says, "Hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house." Hurry, it's important that we get to talk. It's important that we're together. Hurry, this is urgent. Come down. Quit living where you're at. Quit being defined by the label. Quit being defined by who the world says you are. Come on down. Quit that lifestyle. I'm coming to your house. We need to spend time together. If you're living out a label and the world has labeled you as something and you're tired of it, urgently quit living that way and spend time with Jesus. If we want to be experiencing the power of our awesome God, the same power that Zacchaeus lived, the first thing to do is stop and to seek him, because he will seek us. And once this happens, Jesus will take our lousy label, this label that has hurt us for so long, that we have been defining ourselves by for so long, and turn us into a lovely son of God. Jesus is able to take our lousy label and turn us into a lovely son of God. And then we can be loving our label. I can love my label when I'm in Jesus Christ. I can love who I become because I've received a new label. We must receive a new label just like Zacchaeus. Notice what he does in response. Verse 6. "So he hurried down and received him joyfully." So once Zacchaeus is challenged by Jesus to come down, to quit living this lifestyle, to come and spend time with him, he receives him joyfully. Zacchaeus hurriedly comes down and meets him. Because Jesus offers something that nobody else has ever offered Zacchaeus. Jesus noticed the one that was so often pointed out and mocked and judged and scolded. He just noticed him, which was important. And then Jesus not only noticed him, but he gave the one that was so often pointed out and mocked and judged and scolded, he gave him a name. He gave him a name and not a label. And Jesus gave the one that was so often pointed out and mocked and judged and scolded, an opportunity to have a real conversation with somebody that like he's never had. Jesus became his friend. And I don't know what happened during this meal with Jesus. There's so many meal times that I think every preacher in the world wishes they knew what happened in that conversation. Because nobody leaves a meal with Jesus the same as whenever they got there. And Zacchaeus didn't either. Because he met face to face with Jesus, the one who could change him, the one who could take him and help him become who he needed to be. I want to encourage us tonight that we're offered the same invitation that Jesus was. Matthew 11 and verse 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then what does this look like? We know that to be united with Christ, to come to him in belief in John 3:16, and repentance and baptism, Acts 2 and 38, and confession, Romans 10, 9 through 10, and then to have a faithful life. What does that look like? I'm reminded of James 2, 22 through 25, to be a doer of the word and not a forgetful hearer. So as we continue to wrap up, there's two more things, and I think this is probably the most important all night, is we must answer to the Lord alone. Because whenever you decide whoever you were is no longer who you're going to want to be, what happens? Notice what the crowd does there in verse 7. "And when they saw it, they all grumbled and said, 'He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.'" They saw that Zacchaeus was ready to make a change, and they didn't say, "He's a short tax collector." No, they ramped it up and said, "He's a sinner. He's a sinner. The world is going to try to bring us down. But in Jesus, whenever we answer to him alone, Zacchaeus, what does he do? Does he stand up and turn to the crowd and say, "Hey, crowd, I'm not going to be a sinner any longer"? He says, "Jesus, watch this." What does he say? "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Zacchaeus says, "Here's my heart." Whenever we feel as if the world is labeling us and saying, "This is who you're going to be," the only response we have is to the Lord and say, "No, Lord, this is who I am. I'm going to live for you." I find it interesting that just a chapter earlier in Luke 18, that the rich young ruler came to Jesus and was like, "Lord, what must I do?" And Jesus says to keep the commands, and the rich young ruler said, "I've done that." And he says, "Okay, go and sell everything you have." And he couldn't do that, right? Because he was satisfied with this legalistic lifestyle. And maybe he just wasn't willing to get rid of his possessions. And as a response in verse 25, Jesus says that it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than a camel to pass through what? The eye of a needle. And there, the next chapter, we see a rich man who passes through the eye of the needle. Because he's willing to give everything to Jesus. Because he's ready for a new life. He's ready for a new label. And then thirdly, we must only listen to the voice of Jesus. Because Zacchaeus responds to Jesus, even though the crowd is yelling at him. And he has an opportunity to hear that voice, right? Because he's not oblivious to what the crowd's saying. He could hear, "Zacchaeus, you're a sinner. Zacchaeus, you're a sinner. Zacchaeus, you're a sinner." But Jesus stands up, and does he address the crowd? No. He addresses Zacchaeus. And what does he say? He says, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, you're a son of Abraham." This not only implies that Jesus is reinstating Zacchaeus as a Jew, as one who the Jews now had been hating because he had forsook them, had forsaken them. He says, "You're not only part of the Jewish family, but a son of Abraham in the fullest sense. You're a son of Abraham. You're part of the kingdom of God." When we come to Jesus face to face, like Zacchaeus, and we receive his beckoning call to spend time with him, we have an opportunity to receive a new label, to be called a child of God like Zacchaeus. I'm reminded of John chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, right? The parable of the prodigal son. And how this is so beautifully what is happening in Zacchaeus' life. Verse 17, beginning there. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread that I perish here with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him." Isn't that so cool? How the father and how the son always sees those who need to be seen. "And felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Verse 22, "But the father said to him, to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet.'" You notice what the father didn't say to the son? Because remember where the son just came from, right? The pigsty, wallowing in the mud. He didn't say, "Hey, go take a shower, go get cleaned up, and then come back, and then I'm going to put my robe on you," right? He says, "Go and get my best robe. Go and get the ring and put it on my son." So whenever we come to the Lord in our filthy label, labeled by the world, labeled with sin, and he sees us, he says, "Go and get the robe of the blood of my son and put it on him." He doesn't say, "Go clean yourself, go try to fix your label by yourself, and then come back home." He says, "Go get my robe and put them on him." Because whenever the robe covers the son, what do you no longer see in the son? The mud and the filth and the dirt. You see righteousness. You see what is the father's. He puts on the ring, the seal. What are rings? Those of you who are married, what does that ring on your hand symbolize, right? This promise, this seal. If you are a child of God, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians chapter 1. I ask you, put assurance in that. Because if you are a child of God, and you've been allowing the world to label you as something else because you have either been fulfilling that label, or a misunderstanding, or a one-time accident that you've repented of, quit believing in the label and come home and have assurance in who Christ Jesus has said you are. A child of God. And if you are rightfully labeled as something other than a child of God, the invitation is yours to come home and to be who God has labeled you as. So that's what I challenge you with, is to come home. I want to give you very quickly three challenges. Three challenges to make this lesson applicable in your life. Today, this month, and this year. Today, look, meditate, look in your own heart, and understand what you're labeled as. Understand if you are labeled as a child of the King, or if you're labeled by the world, labeled by yourself. Because whenever it comes to God's labeling day and the final day of judgment, you're only labeled righteous or unrighteous. Don't fall on the unrighteous side. Be with the righteous. So reflect today, this month, seek out how to be Jesus to someone. Notice how Jesus sought and Jesus looked for Zacchaeus. Go and be Jesus for someone. Someone is here tonight who feels like they've been labeled by the world. Someone is here tonight who feels like they've been labeled by the church and they need Jesus to show up. Go and show Jesus to them. Go and help them, encourage them, and be with them in this year. This year, this might be one of the most challenging ones. Think big picture with me. This year, be a better member of the crowd. Be a better member in the crowd, because what did the crowd continuously do to Zacchaeus? Bring him down. Look for somebody to uplift this week. Look for somebody to uplift this month, this year, and refocus on how we look out for those who are different than us, whether they're different racially or socially, or even spiritually, whether they're not on the same spiritual level, or maybe they don't even believe in God, they're somewhere else. Because if you are in the crowd and you're bringing them down, guess what? They're never going to come to be part of this family. Let's seek to be better members of the Lord's body. So I challenge you, reflect on your own life. And if you need to make something right with the Lord tonight, don't leave. Because we don't know what's going to happen when we do. Whatever your need is, let it be known as we stand together and sing.
Jesus, just to take